Billionaire Richard Branson once said, if someone offers you an amazing opportunity to do something and you're not sure you can do it, say yes, then learn how to do it later. Life is filled with opportunities. Open doors and new experiences probably come our way more often than we realize. And how we respond to those opportunities determines our path in life. When these opportunities come up, we can either say yes or say no. Well, for sure, there's many good reasons to say no. Saying no to temptation is a sign of good moral character. Saying no to anything for the right reason is usually the right thing to do. And not having the ability to say no can cause a lot of problems because it can lead to burnout. And so there are many times when wisdom compels us to say no. Sometimes saying no is just the outcome of good, sound judgment, but not always. Sometimes saying yes is better. Because when you think about it, saying yes is the only answer that develops our full potential. Let's face it, none of us learns anything new by saying no. However, no is a lot safer. No is a lot less risky. And no is often a good excuse to get out of something. Whereas saying yes requires a commitment. Saying yes is a risk. Saying yes might cost you something. Saying yes leads us into the unknown. And the story of Mary is a yes story. It's a story of both risk and potential. It's a story of personal sacrifice, but also one of great reward. And if we look closely, we see that her story in many ways mirrors our story. Because just like Mary, the path of our life is determined by our yeses and our noes. Her story starts out in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. We read there that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. In Mary's story, we see an example of a life God is calling all of us to. The call to provide. In Mary's case, she was called to provide a womb for the birth of the Savior and motherhood for the Son of God. Of course, that was a one-time in history calling. There is only one Jesus, so there'll never be another mother of Jesus. It was a one-time thing, and we all get that. But just like Mary, all of us are called to the call to provide. For example, we're all called to provide our hearts as a place for Jesus to live. We're all called to provide our hands as instruments to serve the mission of Jesus. We're all called to provide our voice to sing praises to him. We're all called to provide our lives as a living sacrifice to bring him glory. And like Mary, we are all called to provide whatever God asks of us. And like Mary, we have a choice. We can say yes or we can say no. And Mary is an example of someone who said yes. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Mary is the ultimate example of what it means to be used by God in a great way. And so today I want us to look at what we can learn from her story. The first thing that we learn is that God calls us to a life of courage, to a life of courage. Often we lose sight of the reality behind the story. You know, the nativity scene on our Christmas cards always looks so peaceful and serene. But this was not how Mary experienced that first Christmas. For her, it was full of tension and an unsure future. Way back in that ancient culture, a woman who found herself pregnant and unmarried ran the risk of death by stoning from her father and from the other men in the village. All Mary wanted was a nice, normal life. She was already engaged. And this news is going to deeply hurt the people she loved the most. Her parents would be emotionally crushed and scandalized. Her fiancé would have no reason to believe her story. Whatever it was that God was asking Mary to do, she knew it would be life-changing and risky. Many people are afraid of the unknown. When we face things we have never seen or experienced before, they can seem overwhelming. And nothing prepared Mary or her family for what they were going through. This had never happened to anyone else before and has never happened since. She was pregnant with a child that was conceived through the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. So at this point of her journey, Mary was in uncharted waters. There's no map to follow. There's nothing about the angel's news that fit into her hopes and dreams for her life. And so for her first reaction was understandable. She was confused and disturbed. And some of us here today know what it's like to be anxious. Your story may not involve a surprising message from an angel, but you've experienced something you did not expect or want or plan for. And your first reactions included things like shock and anger, fear, and maybe a sense of loss. You know, there's probably very few people who experience a life that even slightly resembles the plans they made when they were young. There's a way in which sometimes life just happens to us. We make our plans, but somewhere along the way, we reach a different destination. I'm willing to bet that most people's plans for life do not include things like financial hardship, or sickness, or grief and loss, or divorce, or moving away from family and friends, or other unfortunate circumstances. Some years ago, you may have pictured a different outcome for your life, a different job, maybe a different way of life. For example, I didn't know I'd end up as a pastor and living in Saskatoon. When I was young, I loved skiing, and so I moved away after high school to Canmore, Alberta, and got a job working in a ski resort in Banff. And I met my wife there at the church in Canmore, and life was going pretty well. And then God called me to Bible college. And so I got married, and I moved to Edmonton. And then I planned on being a missionary, and so we lived in Africa for a while. But God called me to be a pastor, and eventually he called me back to Saskatchewan and to Saskatoon. But when I was young and making my own plans for my life, it didn't include being a pastor or living even in Saskatchewan. But I committed my life to Christ, and I told God I'd do whatever he called me to do. And so here I am this morning, and here you are too. And many of you may be surprised that you're here this morning. But there's a way in which life just happens to us. We make our plans, but somewhere along the way, we reach a different destination. And Mary's plans didn't include becoming pregnant before her wedding and without Joseph. But God had a plan and a purpose for Mary's life. And when God called Mary, he called her to a life of courage. The angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Over 100 times in Scripture, we find the words, "fear not," and "don't be afraid." And that's because if you want to answer God's call in your life, you'll have to learn to conquer fear. You have to conquer the fear of being criticized and the fear of being mocked, or the fear of missing out, the fear of being hurt, the fear of being poor, the fear of feeling rejected, the fear of failure, the fear of opposition, the fear of persecution. I could go on and on, because people who aspire to live a great life in God face all kinds of fear. And that's why God starts so many conversations with his people using the phrase, "do not be afraid." And so we all have to make a choice. We have to choose fear or choose courage. Now, some of you might be thinking, "Hey, Rob, are you crazy? How can I choose not to be afraid? Fear is an emotion that's too powerful to change. How am I supposed to suddenly feel courageous?" Well, here's the distinction. Fear is an emotion, a powerful emotion, and we all know that. But we often make the mistake in thinking that courage is an emotion too, and it's not. Courage is not an emotion. It's an action. And you can be courageous no matter how you feel, because courage is defined by what you do, not by how you feel. The wisdom of John Wayne, he says, "Courage is feeling afraid and saddling up anyways." And that's exactly what Mary did. When the angel told her that she would have a child before she and Joseph were legally married, she certainly felt afraid. Afraid of what people would say, afraid of what Joseph would assume, afraid of what shame she'd bring on her family. She could have easily just given in to all these things and done nothing, but she didn't. The first thing she did was show courage. And so the first thing we learn from her story is that God calls his people to a life of courage. The next thing I want you to see is that God calls all of us to a life of faith. The Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means that sometimes you and I will be called upon to take steps into the unknown without even having anything more to go on than the trust that we have in God's presence and in his promises and in his power and nothing more than that. When your faith is based upon the word of God, that's enough. That's all you need. When the angel told Mary that she would become pregnant, she asked, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel explained to her that the child would be born of the Holy Spirit. He also told her that her relative, Elizabeth, who was well beyond childbearing years, would also give birth to a son. And then the angel spoke this phrase on which you can build your life upon. He said, "Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible with God." And Jesus himself would teach this principle in years to come. He would tell his disciples, "All things are possible with God, and everything is possible for him who believes." You see, God is calling you to a life of possibilities, a life in which you see beyond the obstacles and see the potential. When the angel told Mary that she would see the impossible take place in her life, how did she respond? She said, "May everything you have said about me come true." In other words, she said, "I believe, I'm all in." Mary had no idea what would happen next. She had no idea how Joseph would respond, or her parents, or the people in her community. She had no idea if she would be ostracized and chased out of Nazareth and forced to raise a child on her own. All she knew was that the angel of the Lord had told her, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, for a small-town Jewish girl, that was an incredible promise. To be told that you are about to conceive and give birth to the Son of God, who would fulfill all the prophecies of Scripture and change the world forever. That was a lot to take in, but she believed it. And as a result, she raised the King of heaven and earth as her son. In a similar way, God is calling you and me to a life of faith. He wants us to live by his principle that with God, all things are possible. And we get there through faith. As Jesus said, "According to your faith, it'll be done for you." Faith is the bridge between an ordinary life and a life of possibilities. And just as we often mistake courage for an emotion, we tend to think faith is an emotion too, but it is not. Faith isn't something you feel, it's something you do. You choose it and you act on it. Martin Luther King said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase." The life of faith compels you to take the next step even though you don't know where the road will lead you. Now, there was something else in Mary's response to Gabriel that I want you to see. It's not just that she responded with an attitude of faith. Her words also reflect an attitude of surrender. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." Her words here remind me of the words that were spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." The third lesson we discover in Mary's story is that God calls us to a life of surrender, a life of submission, a life of yieldedness. It's an attitude that says the highest purpose of my life is to serve God's purpose for my life. My highest calling is to bring God glory. So I yield, I submit, I surrender to his will. I put his will before my will. We see many examples in the Bible of this. For example, when Pharaoh ordered the Hebrew midwives to kill all the Hebrew baby boys at birth, the midwives defied Pharaoh and let them live. Even though it put themselves at great risk, they disobeyed Pharaoh and followed God's will instead. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship the king's golden statue, they remained faithful to God, even though they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They didn't know that God would deliver them at that time, but they put God first. And then there was Daniel, who prayed faithfully 3 times a day, even after the king passed a law to forbid it. He submitted to God, even though the king's men had him thrown into the lion's den. And then let's not forget Peter, who was arrested and told not to preach in the name of Jesus. But he challenged his accusers by asking them, is it better to obey God or man? And then he went right on preaching Christ, preaching Jesus, regardless of the risk. And sometimes the opposition to God's will comes from the outside. Others oppose us, and they persecute those of us who want to follow God. But other times, the opposition comes from within. Often the challenge to submit to God comes from our own will. Our own sinful nature doesn't want to cooperate with God's Spirit. And that's why the Apostle Paul gave us these instructions in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. He wrote, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And he says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You know, the greatest opportunity that any of us ever has is the opportunity to say yes to God's Spirit and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in every part of our lives. In life, we have many great opportunities that come our way. You may have the opportunity to start a new career. That's great. God opens up doors for his people and provides for his people. You may have the opportunity to marry the love of your life. And it's a great thing to find a Christian partner who you can love and share life with. Marriage was God's idea, and that's a great blessing. You may have an opportunity to raise a family, and this too is a blessing from God. You may have the opportunity to share Christ with a friend. That's the best news that we can ever share with anyone, and we should make the most of those opportunities. This is really the mission that we share as followers of Jesus, to make him known to others. But the greatest opportunity any of us ever has is the everyday opportunity to say yes to God's Spirit, to yield to his will, and to be the clay in his hands. Just like Mary, all of us are called to the call to provide. We are called to provide our hearts as a place for Jesus to live. We are called to provide our hands as instruments to serve Jesus' mission. We are called to provide our voice to sing his praise. We are called to provide our lives as living sacrifices to bring him glory. And like Mary, we are called to provide whatever God asks of us. And like Mary, we have a choice. We can say yes, or we can say no. And so this Christmas season, I want to remind you to say yes. Say yes to God, and say yes to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the call of Christmas. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. We thank you that you have called us to provide. You've called us to surrender our very selves to you. And we thank you for the example of Mary, who responded to you saying, I am the Lord's servant. May everything he has said about me come true. And Father, we have maybe made our own plans for our lives, but Lord, we surrender those plans to you. We say, may everything you have planned for us come to be. We are your servants. Lord, we provide you. We surrender our hearts and lives to you. Shape us and mold us as clay in your hands and use us for your purposes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.